So let's go into a moment of prayer. Gracious God, you are so, so good. And you are all powerful. You are all knowing. And you are the one that can change all circumstances. So we give you the praise today, Lord. We ask your anointing spirit, Holy Spirit, you've already been speaking to us through your music. You've already been speaking to us through your dance now. Now speak to us through your word, Lord. Encourage our hearts. Help us to do things your way and not our own way, Lord. Help us to be on your path and in your way. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen, saints. Pastor Toby kicked us off last week in a wonderful sermon last week about overcoming the enemy. Overcoming the enemy. And this sermon today is called The Battle for Your Life. And Pastor Rick next week will be talking about the battle for our hearts. Saints, this is not the sermon series you want to miss because we are at war. And we need to know that and understand how to fight the battle. You see, saints, when we speak about Satan, I often hear many different viewpoints about Satan, many different beliefs. But the number one is that Satan does not exist. He's just created because people back in the day was afraid. You know, the lightning storm hit, they got afraid, blamed it on Satan. Tornado came, got afraid, blamed it on Satan. People's fears were the reason behind Satan, but saints, Satan is real. Some of us want to believe that Satan is some funny-looking red cartoon character with a pitchfork. But I want to put forth today, saints, that the reason that we are struggling, the reason why when we did that sermon series, Discovering God's Blessings, and we went on home and we tried to put everything into practice, and then we figured out things weren't working. The reason things weren't working, saints, is because we are in a battle with an enemy that does not want our success, saints. But saints, the problem is we don't even recognize the enemy, and some of us don't even believe the enemy exists. But saints, I say again and again today, we are in a battle, we are in a battle, we are in a battle. So my first question to you is, do you believe that we're in that battle? You see, saints, I believe that there are many Christians that have fallen for the biggest lie. And I know you're sitting there thinking, what lie? What lie have we fallen for? And that lie is that Satan is not real. Satan is not real, and not only Satan is not real, that humans are the cause of all our own problems. It's our own selfishness, it's our own bad choices, it's our own individual choices that get us to where we are at. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have a part, because we do have a part. We do have some part in all the choices that we make. We do make some bad decisions, saints. But let me tell you, there's an enemy helping us along the way. There is an enemy that is trying to trick us and deceive us and is working his best way to make sure that we fail. Say, Satan is alive and well. But do we really believe it? You see, Satan is the greatest deceiver to ever live. Satan can trick, he can lie, he can deceive us, and he can help us to think that things really are not so. He can convince us that we are the problem. He is a master at making the simple things complicated. In our scripture reading, we have the basic story of Adam and Eve. Very simple. God said, don't eat off that tree. Can't get much simpler than that. Don't eat off the tree. Here's Satan, the serpent. Did God really say, don't eat off that tree? Did he say you would really die? Something so simple, he twisted and made complicated. And the human story has never been the same again. You see, I want to say today that in order to fight this battle with Satan, to overcome the enemy, we must first believe that there is an enemy. And we must know what that enemy looks like. You see, if we really are Christians like we say we are, and we truly believe, what happened to my word up here? The Bible. I need my display. Thank you, Pastor D. You know, we all come up here, we move stuff. It's all right, though. But saints, if we believe every word that this book says, the Bible, if we truly believe in the word of God, then we must also believe that Satan is real. Because if we do not believe that Satan is real and he is a made up character, then everything in this word is a lie. And we are following a bunch of liars. Let me show you how it's so. Read with me in our sermon outlines. We have 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. It says, Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. Way back in the Old Testament, here we have Satan inciting David, the man who was after God's very own heart. Are the Bible writers wrong? The book of Chronicles is called the Chronicles, the chronicler, like the story writer wrote it. Is the Bible wrong? Did the Bible writers get it all wrong? Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan. Now this is not Job talking to Satan. Who's talking to Satan? The Lord, God himself. So who is God talking to? Satan. Somebody that's not real? The book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 1. Read that with me. Then he showed me the high priest, Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The prophets understood that there was a Satan. And I always love when they say something so specific that he was standing at his right hand. He didn't say to the left, in front of him, or behind him. He said he's standing at his right hand. Zechariah. Read Luke chapter 4, verse 5 with me. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Saints, this is a very famous story. We all know this about Jesus in the desert being tempted by Satan. Satan was tempting him for food and power and everything, saints. Who exactly was Jesus talking to if Satan is not real? Amen. Look at this, Luke 4:8. Get thee behind me, Satan. Once again, who is he talking to? Some little red man running around with a fork? No, I don't think so either. My favorite one here today is Luke 10, verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Whoa! This is Jesus. Jesus is saying, I saw him with my eyes. Jesus did a few things in this passage, you all, and if I hadn't been a disciple, I'd have said, whoa, slow down. Go back to that. What did you say? You said you saw Satan in heaven. That means you must have been in heaven. Then you also saw Satan get thrown and fall out of heaven. Jesus dated himself, saints, to a time before creation. You see, all of this stuff happened even before Genesis. So Jesus is telling us, I was there at the beginning. I was in heaven when all these things happened and unfolded. And so those of us that struggle with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus just told us point blank he was there. I'm thinking that the disciples should have said, hold on, let's flesh this out. You need to explain this a little bit more. He said that he was in heaven. He saw Satan fall like lightning. So I say to all of us, if Satan is not real, then Jesus is a liar. And I know for a fact that the God that I serve, and I hope that the God you serve, is not a liar. You see, the God that we serve does not want to deceive us. He wants to make everything so simple. He wants us to understand it. He's not into trying to kill us and destroy us. He wants to bring life into us. But Satan, we all have to realize that we are in a battle. Now let me ask you something. What enemy do you know that jumps out and says, woohoo, I'm over here. I'm trying to get you. I got this knife. I'm about to stab you in the back. What enemy do you know points themselves out like that? I'm trying to get you today. I'm your enemy. Here I am. But do you know what, saints? If we think about the wars that have been going on in our country, when we think about this war against the Taliban, you know, first they were in Iraq, and now they're moving out there in Afghanistan, right? Every story we hear about them, the enemy is hiding. And where are they hiding at? Between women and children. We hear these stories about the war and these soldiers that are on the wrong side. They are hiding in homes and between children and between women. And then they, you know, we're supposed to think they're going to jump out and say, hey, you know, here I am. I'm trying to kill you. They're hiding. That's what enemies do. They hide. Osama bin Laden's still hiding. But we know he's out there. He's our enemy. He's hiding up in the mountains, but he's hiding. You know, I was laughing because Terrence was, he was so excited. He's been talking about the Super Bowl game all weekend. He was even talking about it on his way out the door. I'm going home, I'm going home. He's so excited. And when you go home today and watch that football game, I want you to ask yourself, which team put their strategy out first? I'm going to tell you exactly all my plays. I'm going to show you which one is my pivotal player so you can win. The enemy is not going to show his face. Say. The enemy does not want you to know the moves that he has. But you know what our enemy has done? Our enemy has put himself right in our face. It's so obvious, but we still don't believe that he's there. Our enemy is right in our faces. Does not hide as much as we think he does. But there are many of us, well, many non-Christians, who understand the enemy because they serve him. They don't doubt his existence. There are a few examples that I have today if we think about the Church of Satan. I've mentioned this before on several occasions, but there is a church that serves Satan. Matter of fact, there's more than one, and they all have different names. Just like Christian churches have different names, their churches have different names. Their members are unknown. If you go on the website, I'm telling you, trust me, look it up. Their membership is unknown. You can't just walk in their buildings and say, hey, you know, expect that great, glad you're here. You have to prove yourself worthy to be a member of the Church of Satan. Telling you, it's online. Go look at it. It's online. We don't know how many members they have. They don't walk around like we do with our crosses and our displays that we're serving the Lord. They're trying to hide so that you don't know when they're about to stab you in the back. The Wiccans, they don't doubt the existence of spiritual powers and the things that are unseen. And here they are in our schools trying to teach our children that it's okay to be witches, it's okay to be warlocks. Our sons and daughters are being exposed to this message time and time again. It's okay. I thought about it even after I preached this message this morning. I was like, the TV believes in Satan. They believe in the unknown, the ghost hunters. Talk about ghosts all the time. Disney is full of witches, warlocks, dragons, all kind of crazy stuff. And we look at it so innocently. We say, oh, no, Satan, no, no, that's not real. They don't doubt it. They make millions of dollars off of it. It's real. There are those in our world that are actively serving Satan right now. And what do? We dismiss and say, oh, those are just a bunch of crazy folks. They don't even deserve our attention. We don't even have to pay attention to those people. But those crazy folks are winning the battle. They are winning the battle, saints, and they don't even have to fight hard. They're winning because we just failed to believe. But saints, the enemy is out there, and the enemy's greatest tactic is deception. Deception. Satan does not want us to know what he's up to. He loves it when we say Satan doesn't exist. He loves it. But let me ask you again, saints, about the enemy. The enemy doesn't want us to know he's out there. We hear about all these airplane bombings, right? Did you ever see the bomber with the sign that says, I'm about to bomb this airplane? Did you ever see the one that said, hey, I got a bomb in my back suitcase back in the back? They're not going to tell us, saints. The person that's going to rob a bank, what does he look like? He's professionally dressed. He's looking good. He has a little note, whips it to the teller, say, here you go. Note says, I'm about to rob you. Give me all your money. The robber doesn't stand outside the bank saying, hey, I'm about to rob the place. Whoever doesn't want to be here, go ahead and leave now. Y'all so if y'all can see your faces, y'all be ever had your house robbed? Did they say, kindly, I'm going to rob your house today? You know, I'm just going to take your diamonds. I'm going to take those plates, all your DVD players. I'm just going to take your stuff, just in case you want to know. The enemy does not want us to know what he's doing. Satan deceives us time and time again, over and over again, and we still sometimes will sit back and fail to realize that we are in a fight. Satan loves when we portray him as a silly, stupid cartoon character. He loves on Halloween when we give our kids pitchforks and say, oh, you're so cute, and we take their picture. Satan is so smart, saints. Pastor Toby told us in her message that we needed to study Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 and on. And I'm just going to point out a little bit from that chapter, from that verse, if you can read it with me. You were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were an Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Every precious stone. Look at this, saints. Satan is perfect. The signet of perfection, full of wisdom. Well, I won't say he's perfect. He's close to perfect because only God is perfect. Let me correct that. But Satan is as close as you can get. Here he is, perfect, the signet of perfection, full of wisdom. So when we think of Satan as running around being all silly with that red pitchfork, he has all the wisdom. He's smarter than all of us. He was created with wisdom. You see, all of us, we are born and we have to learn everything that we know. We're studying books, trying to figure out this and trying to figure out that. And he was created full of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. So we're looking around for some kind of ugly fella being Satan and messed up looking. Satan looks good. Good looking. That's why so many of us fall when it comes to temptations regarding sex. Satan is good looking, sir. Satan is rich. It says that he was created and he is adorned with every precious stone. That is the diamonds, the emeralds, the rubies, the pearls, gold, silver. Satan is rich. Satan is powerful. Powerful. But with all of this being close to perfection, Satan still is limited. Let me tell you how Satan cannot be everywhere at all times. He is not God. He is not God. Satan can also, he can only work with others. He works through humans and he works through his fallen angels that we also call demons. Satan is not all powerful. He has power, but he is not all powerful. There is only one that is all powerful. Satan is wise, but he doesn't know everything. God knows everything. Satan has lived a long time on his earth, saints, but he will not live forever. The best thing is that Satan can't tempt us. And because he's so good looking, so beautiful, has so much money and so much power and so smart, it's easy to tempt us. But he cannot force us to do anything. He cannot force us to do anything. So saints, again, I say, understanding this battle means understanding the enemy. And in any war, the enemy wants something. You see, right now, we are fighting against the Taliban, right? The Taliban wants something. Do you think they want your car? They want your clothes and your money. You see, this war is a spiritual war, and most of us don't even recognize it. The Taliban wants your faith. The Taliban wants you to bow down to Muhammad and Allah. What do you think life will be like if they win the war? What will it be like for women over here in America? We couldn't see our faces because all of us would be wrapped up. We'd all have our gear on. You could see this. And I definitely wouldn't be standing up here right now. Because none of the girls and the women would be allowed to be educated. This is a bad thing for women and men. Because our men will be put in a position of saying to the women that they love, you are less than me. You can't go to school. This is not healthy for men or women. It's not healthy for them right now, all the way over in Afghanistan. Because we need to work together to accomplish the most, amen? But man, let me ask you, do you want to be in that position? Look to your left and your right. Do you see your daughter sitting next to you, your wife? Tell your wife, you're less than me. Tell your sister you can't go to school and you don't deserve an education. Tell your daughter she is not worth anything. Because that's what you'd be asked to do if they won the war. The Taliban is out to destroy us, saints. We are at war. They recognize it, but we go about our daily days, don't we? Saints, we are in a battle that we need to wise up and realize that it's happening. What does the enemy Satan want? Satan does not want our clothes. He does not want our material possessions. He does not care about our food or our money. He already has all these things, I already told you. He's created with gold. What does he need more gold for? He's already got it. He does not need land. He was given dominion over the earth. So he does not need our land. The only thing that Satan wants is us. You. He wants your life. Satan doesn't need more wisdom or understanding. He doesn't need books. He is already wise. There are a few things that Satan really wants. He wants to be God. He wants to be over God. He wants to destroy what God loves, and he wants to control everything that is God. Let me point out a few things. He wants to destroy what God loves. Who does that mean? Us. You see, Satan realizes that God loves us more than anything. He loves us more than anything. And isn't it ironic that God made Satan out of gold and rubies and pearls and diamonds? And he made us out of dust. And he said, I love you. Guys, most of the time when we come to church, you hear a message of how much you love, how much you're desired by God. And all those things are true. But today I want you to hear this message. You are hated. There is an enemy out there that hates you with a hatred that is so ancient, so dark, so unbelievable that you just can't even imagine how you are hated. Satan is so jealous of us. How did God allow this to happen? How did God love something that was made out of dust and he doesn't love me? Also, Satan sees that God offered all of us a plan of salvation. A plan of salvation. You see, Satan did wrong against God up in the heavens. He was once an angel called Lucifer. He did wrong. He had got shipped on out of heaven. We did the same wrong or a similar wrong against God. We got shipped out of heaven. But God offered us his son. He said, I love you so much, I want to bring you back, and I want to make sure you have a way back to me. I'm going to die on the cross for you. And Satan does everything he can to make sure we don't believe in that plan of salvation. Tells us there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's even no me. He doesn't want salvation because he doesn't got it. Must be hard for Satan some days, looking at us, saying, Lord, where is my plan of salvation? How am I going to get back to you? This is another deception, saints, because there will be some left out. We always hear, oh, all the religions are going to eventually make it some kind of way. That is deception. That is what Satan wants us to believe so that we won't believe in the cross. There's only one way to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Satan doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that everybody's going to have an opportunity. We all have an opportunity right here on earth to give our lives to Christ. That's our opportunity. But he wants you to believe that you can go breathe and meditate in some corner by yourself and you can get to heaven. Salvation is available to all of us. Satan wants your life, and Satan will do anything in his power to get your life. Isn't it funny that everything that Satan has, we want? He has the beauty, the power, the money. And everything that we have is what Satan wants. The love of God, the forgiveness, the salvation. Satan is smart. But Satan comes to kill us, to steal from us, and destroy us. He wants our life. So many evidences of Satan all around us, and we just don't want to believe it. But if you think about the first murder between Cain and Abel, right? Has murders gotten any better since then? The way the crimes happening are just, I can't even say a word from it. They're so bad. I mean, peeling off skin, cutting off toes, cutting off people's head, and burning people, and all the stuff that people do in murders today. The shootings and the stabbings, the theft is outrageous. The abortions, this is murder, saints. It was on a radio show, this lady from Planned Parenthood. She worked for Planned Parenthood, was up in the hierarchy of Planned Parenthood. And she told her story on the radio. And she talked about how she went to work every day. And she sat there, and she knew she was telling a lie. She knew that she was lying to all these women, and it was really hard for her because she went to church every Sunday. And she would tell these women exactly what they needed to hear to terminate their babies. She would say to them, oh, that's not a real life. It's just a bunch of flesh. It doesn't really matter. But thank God that God had a group of Christians who one day decided to stand outside of Planned Parenthood with some signs. And they didn't say much or nothing, but they prayed. And they just said, we offer you something different. There's another way. That baby you're carrying is a baby. And you have some choices. And because this woman went to work every day and she saw those signs every day she went to work and she was in church every Sunday, God finally touched her life and she got out of that place. And she's now telling her story to let everybody know that they are deceiving people. And they know that they're deceiving people. Saints, when we look at the evidence of Satan through drugs and alcohol and our school systems, Satan continues to deceive us by telling us there's no hope. There's nothing that we can do. Our neighborhoods are going to be the same. There's nothing going to ever change. There is no hope. That is another deception. Saints, because all of us, most of us, have lived long enough to know that our schools haven't been the way they are now. Most of us have stood on the lines and fought the battles, and we have braved many, many different enemies, saints. But I often wonder what happened to our people. What happened to us? We were out there with our arms and our fists raised high. We were out there cleaning our streets and making sure our children studied and making sure that they were somebody. But then Satan got a hold of us in our minds, and all of a sudden we think there is no hope and that we can't make a difference. There's always hope, saints. Let's not fall to the deceptions of the enemy. Saints, Satan wants to deceive us by telling us that the things that are wrong in this world are right. Things that are wrong are now right. Let me give you an example. You all got some keys? Who has a key? Let me see it. Basic keys, right? Where does that key go? It's some kind of lock, right? Main purpose of that key is to go in the lock, right? Key by itself doesn't do anything by itself. The lock by itself doesn't do anything by itself. Very simple, right? Is the key supposed to be used for anything else but to go in the lock? Okay, we got it. Very simple. Not much to understand, just like in the Garden of Adam and Eve, you know, not real hard here. We got it. So why does it get complicated, saints, when we talk about homosexuality? The key goes in the lock. Can't do nothing with two keys and can't do nothing with two locks. Very simple. That's your argument when somebody's telling you, oh, it's okay, their feelings, blah, 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 blah. You say the key and the lock. Real simple. Let me give you another example of how Satan wants us to take things that are wrong and make them right. If I was to go out and go to some hardware store and buy a can of tar, buy a couple cans of rat poison and some other things, and bring them here and set them out downstairs in Fellowship Hall and say, hey, come on, everybody, we're having some tar and poison today. Come on and join me. Get your glass of tar. Would you come down? Would you come downstairs? Would I say, we're going to smear tar in our lungs and it's going to be all right. Real simple, right? We know we don't eat tar and drink poison. However, we will take drugs. We will drink alcohol, and then we will some kind of way make it right in our brains that these foreign elements that are not supposed to be in our bodies are okay. The wrong becomes right. Look at our healthcare. We've been having this debate for far too long. Healthcare. Healthcare insurance is so simple. You get sick, you should be able to go to a doctor, help you get well. Doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, how old you are, what kind of disease you have, it's very simple. You should be able to get some help. Our Constitution even says in America, all people are created equal. But not apparently when it comes to health care. Only some people are created equal when it comes to health care. Only some of us deserve a little penicillin when we get sick. Only some of us need some oxygen when we're getting sick. Satan is deceiving us. And we have people dying as a result of it. It doesn't matter. People are needing help. You have AIDS. You have cancer. You have whatever, God, whatever illness you have, you should be able to get the help that you need and deserve. There is no debate. There is no debate. Satan also deceives us by telling us that things that are right become wrong. The things that we know we should be doing that are good for us, he tells us those are wrong. Give you some examples. You don't need a healthy relationship. Go date as many women as you want. It's not going to be bad. Go date as many men as you want. You can date both, as a matter of fact, if you feel like it. It's not going to be bad for you. You don't need a healthy body. Now, how many of us, if I gave you a big old lump of fat, would just chew down on that fat? And I'm guilty of this. I'm over at McDonald's eating my double cheeseburger knowing that it's full of fat and clogging up my arteries. Them french fries are not good for us. But Satan makes sure they taste real good, so we'll keep going there. The things that are right for us become wrong. Telling us, why go to church? Why go to church? You don't need those folks. Let me tell you something. The enemy never has a problem gathering together. Those who don't believe in God, they at the club every Friday night and every Saturday. They don't have a problem gathering together. They don't have a problem getting their praise on. problem sharing a meal and a smoke. They don't have a problem, but we say, oh no, you don't need to go to church. Everything that is of God, Satan tells us it's wrong. It's wrong to pray. It's wrong to hold people accountable and tell them your lifestyle needs to be better. He tells us it's wrong to do those things. It's wrong. Don't get in people's business. He tells us it's wrong to want to have good neighborhoods and want to have a good education. When did having an education become bad? You consider low if you're studying or trying to do the right thing. You're trying to get good grades. You students, you're in school. And everything that you're trying to do right, somebody's telling you is wrong. You go to class on time, somebody laughing at you. You do your homework, somebody laughing at you. You get good at grades, you get straight A's, somebody laughing at you. Those things that are right become wrong. Saints, this is why excellence in action is so important, saints. Because this is not easy. We are at war. We are fighting an enemy that wants our lives. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your cars. He wants your life. That's exactly what he wants. So this is why excellence in action is so important, because we have to step by step, day by day, be in obedience to God. Because it's not easy being obedient to God, because we are selfish creatures and we want to do things our way. But one thing at a time, he says, get up, get up. He says, pray, pray. He says, learn my word. Learn the word. Since this is why we are losing the battle, because many of us don't want to get deep in this word. When I read those scriptures, some of you probably were surprised that they were in there, that Jesus had this conversation with Satan, because you haven't opened your word. This is your biggest defense right here, knowing the word. When Pastor Toby preached last week, she talked about the whole armor of God. The word is a part of that. The word is a part of that, saints. Excellence in action, surrounding ourselves with fellow believers. Surrounding ourselves, never saying to ourselves, I don't need them people, because we need each other. You can't win the war without the soldiers, saints. You cannot win the battle without the soldiers, and we need each other, saints. So how can we, in this conclusion, how can we overcome this enemy? First, we got to recognize that there is an enemy. And this enemy wants our lives. He doesn't want us to believe. He wants us to fall down and get discouraged and give up. And as soon as we leave this sanctuary, some of us are going to already be thinking, it's not real. What she said wasn't real, and that didn't really happen. But that is a deception. Recognize that it is an enemy against you. How else do we overcome this enemy? Is to recognize what Christ has given us. Read that last scripture with me from Luke. It says, see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Key word, authority. As powerful as Satan is, as good looking as he is, as rich as he is, he took the dust of the earth and said, I'm going to make you more powerful than them. I'm going to give you authority over them. What does authority mean? Command. You say it and it is so. You're in a temptation situation, tell yourself, get up and leave. You're in the fire, move these feet so that I can be on solid ground, saints. He has given us authority over Satan. All we have to do is recognize it, saints. So my final question to all of us here today is, you know, Satan has said that he comes to give us life. That he knows each and every one of us. That we hear his voice. Only us that believe, we hear his voice. And we follow after him. Saints, are we ready to fight this battle? Are we ready to stand side by side with God and fight against an enemy that we cannot see, saints? To fight against an enemy that wants to destroy us. Saint, God knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows every thought that we have, saints. He knows the struggle, saints. And it's time for us to give our lives to Christ. Don't keep sitting there believing the enemy. And trust me, say, I don't need to get up. I don't need to do all that. Yes, we do. Because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for all of us, saints. So, saints, let's pray this prayer out. Gracious God, you are so good.